I would venture to guess that most of us in this church today are native English speakers. And if you know much about language, the English language is pretty hard to learn, especially if you don't learn it at a young age, because the English language doesn't follow all the rules. There's lots of exceptions. There's lots of strange words and strange ways that the English language works. If you've studied another language, you've known this, that there's other declensions and conjugations with nouns and verbs and such. And so a lot of other languages are more easily learned and studied, and they're more easily understood. You know when you're talking about a singular or a plural because there's a different ending or there's a whole different word used. But the English language is pretty difficult, especially for those learning it as a second language. I want to give you an example of this. Take the word you. The word you. If I were to use you in a sentence, you would have to use the context of the sentence and the context of what I was talking about to know if I was talking about you or you. It's the same word. And sometimes we have to wrestle with the context of what exactly is being said. I'll give you three examples of this. If I were to say, I want you to say the creed with me, am I talking about you? Am I talking about you? You've been to Mass before. You know how Mass works, and you probably could figure out, okay, he means all of us. He doesn't just mean me as an individual. He means the whole group. But what if I were to say, at the end of Mass, I want you to come up and read the announcements. You might sit here for hours waiting for somebody to stand up and do it. Actually, most of you would just leave, I think. But there are some of you that would sit here and you'd say, never in a million years am I going to be the one that stands up and does what Father asked. Somebody else is going to do it. If I didn't designate John today as the lector, you might sit here and just wait. Well, who's going to do it? He didn't specify. And surely we're not all going to get up and read the announcements. One last example. If I were to say, after the petitions today, I want you to bring up the gifts. Again, you might wait and wait and wait for somebody to do it. Even though you know it's probably going to take two or three people to go and pick up the water and the wine and the bread from the back of the church and bring it up. It's not just going to be one person. It's not going to be all of us. It's probably going to be a small group in that instance. But again, if I don't designate who I want, you might just sit there and wait and wait and wait. I've learned this as a pastor. If I asked a general question like, we need volunteers for this, I might wait and wait and wait. But if I asked you, and you as individuals to join me in that task, I have a greater chance of success. Sometimes you have to use specific asks to get what you want. Otherwise, it's too ambiguous. I could mean the crowd, I could mean an individual, I could mean a small group, but if I'm not specific, then my ask will turn out less fruitful. And this is the way that discipleship works. This is the way that God invites people into relationship with Him. He does it in different ways. He invites groups, big groups like this group today, this congregation, this body, this crowd. He calls people in large groups. But if it only stays there, there's less investment, there's less commitment. So God goes a step further and He calls you, and He calls you, and He calls you. He calls individuals from the group to follow Him in discipleship in a unique, a particular, a specific way. And then thirdly, He calls those individuals to gather and practice discipleship in small groups, in groups that are manageable and ways that we can grow in our faith together. Otherwise, the crowd is too big. And if it's just me and Jesus, then I'm missing out on a whole part of discipleship. So he goes one step further and calls people in smaller groups. And I see this reflected in our message today. First, in St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In these few short verses at the beginning, he uses the word you, that word I was talking about earlier, 9 times. 9 times St. Paul uses you. I am reminding you of the gospel I preach to you, which you indeed received and in which you also stand. St. Paul's using it in a broad way. He and his disciples and those who were sent out to preach, they preached to groups. They called people in crowds to receive the word. But then St. Paul, later in this same passage, he talks about his own call, that lastly of all, the Lord appeared to me. To me, an individual, a specific person. So it wasn't just the crowd. In this instance, St. Paul's talking about himself, a unique individual called to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. In the East, they would call him Saint, I guess. But the prophet Isaiah, we hear a similar message from him today in this reading from his book. Jesus, or the Father, asks a question. He asks a general question. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? The Father's just asking this broad question, it seems like an earshot of Isaiah. It's like the Father's pondering, who am I going to pick for this one? Who could I send? Who would do it? And Isaiah heard that general question, and he stood up. He recognized the Lord's calling for him specifically, and he responds in generosity, here I am, send me. Isaiah, a member of the crowd, one of the grouping, but called as an individual, a specific person with a specific call. And then in the gospel, I think we see all three groups, the large group, the crowd, the individual, and the small group. Jesus is preaching in the beginning of this passage from Luke's gospel. The crowd is pressing in on Jesus. They're listening to his words. They're hanging on his every word. But then Jesus leaves that crowd, and it says, getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. He leaves the crowd after he had been preaching with them, and he enters the life of a man. He enters the life of a specific person, Simon. He got into Simon's boat, and he called Simon. He had this miraculous catch of fish. There was an exchange. There was a conversion with Simon. And then at the end, after he had called this particular person, we hear that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon, also heard Jesus. They were also there with him. Presumably, Simon's brother Andrew, his other fishing buddy, they were there together. And then the last line here from today's gospel, not just Simon, but they left everything and followed him. The last group of disciples here, a small group, they left everything. They left their nets. They left their lifestyle. They left everything and followed Jesus as a small group. Brothers and sisters, this is the healthiest way that we live discipleship. We live it in crowds, like right here today. We live it as individuals and letting the Lord speak to me a particular call. And we live it in small groups so that we can receive and be challenged by the Word of God through our brothers and sisters in the community. And specifically, I want to give an encouragement, a challenge today. We're about 1 month from the season of Lent. I'm looking at my watch. It is February 6th. On March 6th, 1 month from today, we'll celebrate the first Sunday of Lent. Sometimes we don't think about Lent until it's Ash Wednesday. And then we think, oh no, it's Lent. What am I going to do? What am I going to give up? What are my penances going to be? What is my prayer going to be? So I wanted to talk about Lent now, a month before we even begin. And my particular invitation to you is that we're going to have a small group campaign here at our parish during the season of Lent. We want to look at discipleship in a different way, not just in the crowd, like here when you come to Sunday Mass, not just in an individual way when you have some times of personal prayer and listen to the Lord's call for you uniquely, but in a third way, in a small group. A small group that can hear the Word of God and be encouraged and challenged by the other members of my group. This is what Simon stepped into today, and it was with his fishing buddies. It was with the group that he already knew, people he was friends with, Andrew and James and John. They formed a group, and they followed Jesus together. And that's what I want to encourage us to do as a parish. A parish, a group, a large crowd, it's hard to know everybody. And I can just be anonymous in the crowd and not grow in my faith in ways that I might were I to specify, this is my team. In the midst of our large crowd and our congregation, this is the group that I want to be formed by and challenged by. I want to speak just a little personally about this. I've been in a small group, or rather different small groups, for the last 20 years. From the time I entered college until today, I have been challenged by and inspired by different members of my small group, different brothers in the Lord who I prayed with and I read scripture with and who I shared my life with. And now as a priest, I continue to do this. I do this with other brother priests. We meet on a regular basis and we share our lives and we study some kind of content together and we let the Lord form us as a small group. And it's been the most blessed thing probably that I could hold on to that's been part of my spiritual growth. Men that I could be known by and loved by in a specific way. If I just remained an anonymous part of the crowd, I think my discipleship would be impoverished. It'd be lacking something. It wouldn't be complete, because a complete discipleship has to have these three things: the large group, the individual call, and the small group. And so I want to invite every adult in our congregation during the season of Lent to think of 3 to 5 friends whom you might invite into a small group. When you leave Mass today, we're going to put a sheet in your hand. Every adult's going to get a sheet of paper today in your hand when you leave Mass. At the top of that sheet is just 6 blank lines. These are the members of my small group. And then there's a little schedule, a little flow of what a small group meeting would look like. You don't have to create this on yourself. You don't have to figure out what we would do. We're going to give you a sample of what that might look like. And then at the bottom of the page, it's going to be a link to our website. Already up there now are some resources. We have some print resources. I'll hold some of them up at the end of Mass. We're going to have some video resources on that link. We have different content that you could perhaps evaluate and digest as a group. But it doesn't matter what it is. My encouragement, my challenge for each adult today here in our parish is to think of some people in my life who I might group with during the season of Lent. It's that simple. 3 to 5 people, I'll meet probably 5 or 6 times with them on a weekly basis. Maybe they're people of your own family, maybe they're friends that you already have, maybe it's a men's group, maybe it's a women's group, maybe it's a couples group. I don't care what it looks like. But that you would be challenged and encouraged in a different way, perhaps, than you ever have before. Now, I know some of you already have groups like this. Maybe you do something at the parish. Maybe you are in some kind of study or whatever it is. That's fine. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. But if you're not doing something in this small group way, I invite you into it during the season of Lent, that we each would be challenged to grow more specifically as members of the body. So today, let us invite the Lord into our life. Let us invite him into our hearts, that we would be faithful disciples, followers of the Master.